Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Awesome. Well, good morning, and again, welcome to Life Change. We're so excited you're here, and as always, if you're our first-time guest, we take that seriously. You know, that's a big decision, so we do have a gift for you that we would love to give you, so you can check out that at the Connect Desk, really right behind that wall as well. And man, what a way to start off. Baptism, let's go. Come on. Like, yeah. Dude, so exciting, so fun, and I'm just excited that you are here today as well. We're jumping into a series that we have entitled Like Jesus. And as we start this, I just want to ask you guys a couple questions. Like, how many of you have ever wanted to get better at something? All right, good. You guys, you did good job, right? Or maybe want to know something, right? The truth is we all have. We all get to a point where we're like, man, I wish I would just be better at this thing, or I wish I would know something about that. And if you think about it, what do? If there's something we want to get better at, or if there's something we want to know more about, we often go to somebody else that knows more about it than us. Or we even go to the source of something that even where it all began. So, I mean, like, if you think about it, so my kids, I have two kids, Berkeley and Griffin. They're involved in a couple different things, and they want to get better at things. So my son loves baseball, and my daughter loves drama. Both kinds of drama. So what do? We put them in situations where they're going to get better at certain things. So we put my son on baseball teams that are going to challenge him. I remember for years we had him in lessons as well. We put him in pitching lessons. We put him in hitting lessons. And we made sure that who they were getting pitching lessons from, who he got pitching lessons from, who he got hitting lessons from, was somebody who was pretty good at that. Like, it wasn't somebody that had never seen a baseball before. It wasn't somebody that's never held a bat before. It was somebody that was good at that certain thing. Somebody that was better, more experienced than even I was, which is not that hard to do, right? But we do these things. And then for my daughter, right? She's drama. We put her in Weather Vane, which is acting and a really place where she can learn about this, right? So they know how to do choreography. They know how to do dancing. They know how to do all the acting stuff. And they teach her. In fact, there's people in their classes and in the group that are really good that she even wants to be like. If you think about it, we want to put people in our lives that are better than us that we can chase after. I mean, for me, as a pastor, I want to become a better pastor. I want to be a better pastor than what I was last year. And so what I do is I put people in my life that are good. There's some pastors, there's some mentors that I have that I'll go spend time with that have been in it longer than I have, that are killing it, that are crushing it, that are helping me become better. Right? If you want to get good at something, if you want to know more about something, you have to go to the source or to a source that knows and is better than you. And as we jump into the series, this is what this is all about. I think we all want to grow spiritually. We all want to get better spiritually. And for us to do that, we have to go to the source. And so what we're doing is we're talking about how we can be like Jesus, because that's what's going to help us grow. In fact, this is what this is all about. This is what church is about. If we call ourselves a follower of Christ, it's becoming more and more like Jesus. It's becoming more and more like Him. And so what we're doing is we're spending some time jumping in, looking at some of the character traits of Jesus, looking at some of the attributes of Jesus, and we're looking at how we can apply those to our lives so that we can become better, so that we can become better spiritually, and we can be connected more to God. And so today we're going to jump in. We're going to talk about how we can pray like Jesus. Pray like Jesus. And if you look at it, prayer is foundational to our spiritual lives. Right, prayer is a basic. It's something that we need to do every single day. Right, prayer is a conversation that we have with God. It's what keeps us connected to Him. And what's amazing about prayer is prayer has some incredible power. Prayer can do some amazing things. If you look at a great theologian, he said this, Charles Spurgeon, he said this about prayer. He said, prayer moves the arm that moves the world. That's the power of prayer. Another quote from him, he said this. He says, prayer is the slender nerve that moves the hand of God Almighty. Right? Some power in there. He's a great theologian. He said these things. He understood God. And here's what I know, too. There's another great theologian from the 90s, MC Hammer. He said it this way. You've got to pray just to make it today. Right? Okay, he's not a great theologian, but he had some pretty sweet pants, and I was going to do some cool dance moves up here, but thankfully I didn't. But it's true. You got to pray. Right? Prayer is a basic to our spiritual lives. It's something that we need to do every single day. It's something that moves us. It's something that gets us closer to God. It's what actually connects us with Him. It's our conversation that we are allowed to have with Him. But if we're honest with ourselves, let's just be honest too. Let's look at it. Sometimes prayer can be a little hard. Right? Prayer can be a little tough. I mean, sometimes prayer, it can be overwhelming. There's times where we might not know what to pray. There's times where we may not know how to pray. There's times where we may just get stuck. There may be times where we get so frustrated that we don't even want to pray. Like, it just feels weird. I don't know what to say. We don't know how to say it. And so what do we? We just say, I'm just not going to pray because I can't pray. And sometimes we get to that point where we think, man, I just can't pray. I'm not connecting with God. This is hard. I'm not going through this. This is so, I'm just in this spot where I'm struggling and I don't even feel like praying. I don't even want to pray. And listen, the truth is we've probably all gotten there before. And there's probably some times where we even get to the place where we even question, why are we praying? We have doubts. We struggle with our faith a little bit, or we struggle with ourselves. We're thinking, like, why am I even praying? Why would God even listen to me? Right? I've done too many stupid things. I've hurt too many people. Like, why would he even listen to me? Listen, I think sometimes we get to this point, right? We get caught up in all these things. We can get caught up in our guilt. We can get caught up in our shame. We can get caught up in all this condemnation. And we feel this, and we don't even want to move. We don't even want to pray. We don't even want to connect to God. We just want to go basically hide and get in a fetal position and stand in a corner, right? I'm just telling you, I've been there before. If you haven't been there, sorry. Like, you're probably going to get there because life hits us sometimes. Life is sometimes hard. We go through ups and we go through downs. And sometimes the downs will keep us down so much so that we don't want to connect. We don't want to pray. We don't want to do anything. And listen, this is what Satan wants. This is what our enemy wants. He wants us to feel this disconnect. This is why he uses sin. Sin is a disconnect. Right? It's a separation from God. And he'll use that and he'll hone in on it to make us feel guilty and to make us feel shameful so that we don't connect with God. And then what happens? When we do this, our life continues to spin out of control. It spirals out of control. And then what do? Instead of looking at God, we look at our problems more. We turn to anxiety. We turn to worry. We turn to panic. And maybe you found yourself, listen, I've been there. Listen, I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes I don't like preaching up here because what happens the week before I preach something up here is I get hit with it, right? And so this week was just one of those weeks. And so if you know anything about me, you know that I don't like flooding at all. I like things organized. I like things planned. I like things prepped. I like to feel in control of stuff. I've never met a pastor who doesn't like to feel in control of stuff. I like to give things back to God, but sometimes there's some things, man, I just take. And listen, for me, flooding is one of those things I want to control. And so this past Tuesday where the storms are going on, this was one of those times, like, my anxiety was like the highest it's been in a long time. All right, so if you know about us, in 2020, our basement flooded. We had 6 feet of water in our basement that we pumped out for 3 months because we aren't fighting water that comes in. We're fighting the groundwater that comes up into our basement. And so 2020, 6 feet of water, like not 6 inches, 6 feet. I'm talking like it was above our hot water tank. It was above our furnace. All that stuff was ruined. And I'm like, that was not a good feeling. And so we spent a decent amount of money to put a system in so that would never happen again. And so we have this cistern basically outside our house, and like it works, but when the rains come, it's still a little scary. And so on Tuesday, I'm like in full panic mode, right? Because we're supposed to rain and it's supposed to do tornadoes. I'm pretty sure there was a monsoon and a tsunami somewhere in Ohio, just because it's Ohio. That's how things happen now. I don't know. I don't know when we moved to where we get every single thing that happens. But on Tuesday, I was panicking, right? So we're down in the basement on Tuesday. And we're in there because obviously there's supposed to be a tornado, so we're trying to play safe. But at the same time, there's rains coming everywhere. And then our sump pump, our cistern outside, there's two pumps pumping in there. Then our sump pump in our house is coming up and there's water. It's about that close to the edge where it's coming in there. So I'm like, this is not good, right? Our house is going to get ripped up from the top and we're going to drown from the water coming up from the bottom. And meanwhile, my wife doesn't care about anything. She's just relaxed and they're all watching TV, right? We're sitting down there, my legs going like this. She's like, seriously, right now? She's like, really? Are you that? I'm like, yes, I'm that panicked right now. Yeah, it's true, because that's where I am. And here's what I knew. I was not in control. I had a feeling completely where I lost control. And here's the sad thing. I hadn't even prayed yet. I was just worrying. I was just in my feels. I was just, you know, this is it. This is the end of the world. All right, we may get some water on our basement floor. It's the end of the world. And I know that's not a big deal, but listen, for me, I'm panicking. Like, this is how I feel. And this is what happens. When we get to this point where we give up on prayer, when we don't go to first, when we don't go to it first, we lose control. And the truth is, we're not in control anyways. But here's what prayer does. When we pray, it reminds us who is actually in control. And that's why it's so important. That's why it's so important. That's why my challenge today is for us to pray like Jesus. Because when we pray, it puts God back in control. It allows us to see how big he is and allows us to connect back with him, who's our heavenly Father, who actually cares for us and who can do some amazing things. He's our creator. He's the one who made us so he can fix the problems and fix the things that are around us, right? And when we pray, it actually lines us back up to his will and to what he wants for our lives. It allows us to see that he can work in us, through us, and for us. Like, that's the power of prayer. Right? Prayer truly changes us. As I'll tell you this, prayer doesn't always change our circumstance, but it always changes us. Right? That's what I know. That's what I've seen to be true in my life. I'm just going to tell you, I did pray, right? After I had a little panic moment, I did pray. And just to end the story, we did not flood. We have 4 pumps rolling right now. They will roll till June because we're fighting the water table. It's super annoying, but it's not awesome. But we did not flood, so that was good. But here's what I know. The circumstances didn't necessarily change. I started praying. I'm like, God, make it stop raining. God, make it stop raining. God, make it stop raining. Guess what? It didn't stop raining, right? And guess what it's going to do this week? It's going to rain. We live in Ohio. It's terrible. I don't know why, but it's not going to stop raining. The circumstances didn't change, but here's what I did. Here's what I experienced. I experienced peace because I realized that he's still in control. Prayer changes us. It doesn't always change our circumstance, but it changes us because we truly experience who he is when we're praying, when we're connecting with him. And when we submit to him, when we're praying, we're submitting to his will and realizing that his will is better than ours. And when we actually understand that, it will always change us. Paul said it this way in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. If you have your Bibles, you can go there with me. If you don't have a Bible, we challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. Right? Just do it. It's good. But if you look at this, here's Paul. And he's writing to the church of Philippi, which is made up of a bunch of retired Roman soldiers. And so here's Paul. He knows that they're going to face a lot of opposition. He knows that they're going to be in a situation where they can worry a lot. He knows that they're going to be in a situation where they're going to stress over certain things. Here's some guys that are used to being in control, and now they're placed in this church situation where they're going to face all this opposition, and they're not going to be in control. And so this is what he says here in verse 6. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Here's Paul, and he's saying, instead of being anxious, there's something else you can do. You can pray. Right? Instead of being crippled by worry, instead of having anxiety, what you can do is you can present your request to God. And what's crazy is this. Paul didn't say, and he's going to change your situation. He didn't say, and everything's going to go right just exactly how you plan and how you want. He didn't say that. He said, when you do that, though, what you'll experience is you'll experience the peace of God. And it's a peace that transcends all understanding. It's a peace that you can't even fathom. You can't even comprehend because it's a peace that comes from God. God might not change your circumstance, but he's going to change you, and he's going to give you peace, right? And not only that, he's going to guard your hearts and your minds. This is the power of prayer. This is what prayer does. Right, think about this. Think about this in your life. Imagine this in your life. And the good news is we can experience this if we pray like Jesus. So again, my challenge, what we're talking about is we're going to pray like Jesus. And what's amazing is that Jesus teaches exactly how to pray. You're thinking like, man, I'd like to learn how to pray. Is there a cheat code for that? Yes, there is a cheat code for that, right? It's called Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. It's a passage of scripture that we know as the Lord's Prayer. And it's actually one of my favorite lessons. In fact, If you've been around Life Change, you see that we do this even in our Discover class. This is one of the basics. We teach you how to pray the Lord's Prayer because there's elements, there's things about it that will help us. If we ever get to that point where we're stuck, if we ever get to that point where we're overwhelmed, if we ever get to that point where we're feeling doubt and we just don't know what to say, there's a cheat code for us to go to where we can pray just like Jesus. Right? Again, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, it says this. It says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, chances are you've probably seen this prayer before. You've probably said this prayer before. You might be like, no, we're supposed to say trespasses, Corbin. That's how we said it when I grew up, right? This is a prayer I think we've all seen. And it's a prayer we probably quoted word for word. And really, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, we're going to close the service today by saying this word for word. But what Jesus is doing, he's teaching us that there's some elements in prayer. There's some things that we can put in place that we can pray like him, and it'll help us to overcome any of our doubts. It'll help us to overcome any of the struggles we're having. It'll help us to move forward, and it'll help us to truly experience the peace that he gives. And so today, I just want to jump in, and I want to look at six different elements to this prayer. And so I will say this. I know six is a lot. I want to challenge you to write these down. But like, if you pray a prayer and you don't have all six of these, it's not like you failed at prayer, just so you know, right? Like, if you just pray one of these things, it's going to help you. Right? If you don't pray any of them, you probably still had a good prayer with God. But these are six things that can help us if we get stuck, that can help us to move forward. Things that will challenge us. Things that are going to allow us to experience the peace that he wants us to experience. Things that will show us and teach us and allow us to pray like Jesus. So number one is this. Number one part of prayer is worship. Right, it's focusing in on who God is. Focusing in on who he is. Right? If you look at it, worship is an exercise in value and perspective. It places value on God. It focuses in on who he is and how great he is. And when we do that, it puts everything else into perspective. It shows how amazing he is even compared to our problems. Right? That's what worship is. And part of our prayer should be that. Part of our prayer should be focusing in on who he is. Again, if you look at how this starts, it says this. It says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. If you look at this, there's really kind of three different aspects of this. It starts off and it shows that we can worship God because of the relationship that we have with him. Our Father. We're his children. Right? He's our Father. He cares for us. He wants the best for us. And because of that, we can worship him. Because of that, we can see how great he truly is. And we can address him at a different level of intimacy that maybe we've never even experienced before. Right? That's what worship is. It's addressing him in this way. And then it says this. It says, our Father in heaven. We worship him from where he reigns from. He reigns from above everything else. Right? He reigns from heaven. And all the universe is placed under his feet. He's given all authority. He's going over everything. Right? Everything is his. And when we understand this, we understand that he can do anything necessary for us. He can do anything and everything in our life that we need. Is acknowledging his power. And then it says, hallowed be your name. We worship him because his name is hallowed. It's holy. It's set apart. It's above every other name. And it's not just his name, it's his character. It's who he is, right? God is holy. He's good. He's all powerful, right? He's all knowing. He's eternal. He's unchanging and he's full of love and he's full of mercy. And we worship him for that. And what's incredible is when we worship him, what happens is everything else goes into the proper perspective. Right? Worship truly invites us to understand who he is. And it changes us from looking at just the problems to looking at who God is. It changes everything. And what happens is it goes from us just using prayer as a time to worry out loud to allow his power to sink in to our lives. If we don't start prayer with worship, what happens is oftentimes we just worry out loud to God. So I challenge you to worship him. Worship him because it changes our perspective. So number one is that. Number two is to agree with the promises of his will. Again, it says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you look at this is an agreement prayer. Right? This is a prayer saying, God, your will be done. God, what you promised, I want to happen. I want it to happen in my life even more so than what I want to happen in my life. Right? It's taking the promises of God and it's saying that even regardless of my situations, I'm going to give it to you. Right? It's agreeing that his will is what we want in our life. It's agreeing that his promises are true and that he can actually do what he says. Right? We could pray the will of God, right, when we agree with his promises. And I challenge you, spend some time just agreeing with his promises, right? Promises like what he said in Jeremiah 29:11, where he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Listen, God's promises are all throughout scripture and we can agree with them. We can pray them. In fact, I challenge you to do it. I've challenged you when you're reading your Bible, if you see some promises in there, start marking them down, start saving them, right? Make notes and go back to them. And if you get stuck, there's this crazy thing called Google that you could just Google, said promises of God, Bible verses, and it works. Write them down and start agreeing with them. Right? Another promise is Psalm 119:1. It says, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord." I pray for us to be blessed because our ways are like his. I pray for us to walk in that so that we can be blessed. John 14:27 says, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." Right? These are some promises that God has in the Bible, and there's so many more. And we need to agree with them. We need to agree with what he's called us to do. We need to agree with his will over our life. So use some time, use prayer to be a time where you can agree with him. And then number three is this. Use prayer as a time of thanksgiving. Right, give thanks. Right, remember the things that he's done for you. Again, it says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Right? If you look at this, this is kind of a twofold. It says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Part of that is actually requesting, which we're going to talk about just in a minute here. But part of that is remembering that God has shown up and given us our request beforehand. It's thanking him for the things that he's done. It's thanking him for the blessings that he's given us that we're able to experience because of him. So part of our prayer is to be grateful. Part of our prayer is to give thanks for him. Right? Listen, in your prayer life this week, maybe there's some time where you need to actually document some things. Like if you take notes or if you have a journal, if you take notes on your side of your Bible, write some of the things that God has done. Write some of the things that you're thankful for. Write some of the areas where he showed up in your life. Spend some time giving thanks. Here's what I know. Our degree of thankfulness often determines our happiness. It often determines our optimism, what we're looking forward to as well. Again, because prayer changes us. It changes us. If you look at worship changes our perspective, where thanksgiving changes our attitude. And if we use thanksgiving in our prayer, it can change our attitude. Sometimes I think we go through life, and one of the reasons we don't pray is we have a terrible attitude. We're just grumpy about everything. And listen, I'm just talking about myself, not you right now, right? But there's times where I feel like that. But when I begin thankful, when I get grateful for certain things, my attitude changes. My attitude changes, and because of that, I change as well. Think about it. What are some things that you're grateful for in your life? Use prayer as a time to express thanksgiving, right? Give thanks. And then number four is make requests. Again, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Right, that's a time to make requests. It's a time to ask for the things that we need. I think this is one that we understand a lot. We understand that, hey, yeah, we're going to use prayer. And sometimes we make this whole grocery list of everything that we want. And sometimes we may even feel bad about it. But here's what I want you to understand. Don't feel bad about that. Part of prayer is making requests. God wants to know what you want. He wants to know the desires of your heart. And he wants you to speak them out. Right? He wants you to ask them. Because what you're doing when you do that is you're saying, "I'm trusting you." And make requests. And I'll challenge you this. Be specific with those requests. Right? I remember when I had my accident, right? My head fell off. I was in a mountain biking accident. It was crazy. All that good stuff. Here I am in the hospital. And Sarah was there with me along my side the whole time. And she made some very specific requests. The green heart prayer request, things that were probably almost too much information for many of you because she was saying things that was happening to me while I'm in the hospital. I'm like, whoa, you can't say that. But she did. Why? Because they're specific. And here's what's crazy. God showed up. And when we get specific, God shows up. He wants to know the desires of our heart. So listen, get specific. If your marriage right now is hanging on by a thread and you need restoration, then start being specific about where you actually need help with. If it's unforgiveness, talk about it. Tell God that you need help forgiving, right? If it's anything else, talk about it. Talk about what you need help with. Listen, if you're in an addiction right now and you're struggling, get specific with God, saying, you know what? I need you to break this chain, not just of general addiction, but of this right now. So the next time you go to it, you can be like, nope, God's already got this. He's bigger than this. I'm walking away. Like, get specific. Get specific on these things and make requests. Let God know what's on your heart and mind. In fact, Jesus even said it this way after his teaching on the Lord's Prayer. Later on, he said this in Matthew 7:7-8. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. That's why I challenge you to ask God for things. Make request part of your prayer. And then number five is this, confess. What's confession is this, it's forgiving. It's pursuing forgiveness and asking for forgiveness as well. Again, it says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Another translation, like I said, says trespasses. Maybe you're used to that one. And I actually like that one because it means that someone maybe stepped on our property or we stepped on someone else's property, meaning that we may have hurt somebody. We crossed the line with somebody or somebody crossed the line with us. Right? They messed up and there's a result. There was a consequence. There was hurt that came from that mess up. And listen, this is the truth. This is what sin does. Like, there's always consequences to our sin. Somebody gets hurt. We may have been hurt by somebody else's sin, or we may have hurt somebody with our sin. And we need to remember that. And part of prayer is saying that is where we're at. It's confessing those things and asking forgiveness for those things. It's asking forgiveness for those things. So part of this saying, God, forgive me for this. Help me walk in a different way. Help me change. Because this actually overcomes the guilt and the shame that comes with sin. And part of our prayer should be overcome these things. And it should be to ask forgiveness. And but part of prayer is also in confession, is admitting where we've been hurt before as well. If you look at it, I think sometimes we try to hold on to our own hurts, and what happens is we become bitter and resentful. But part of prayer and confessing is the fact that sometimes we've been hurt and we need to forgive to let those things go so that we can overcome that. Again, it's saying, we forgive our debtors. We forgive our trespassers. Part of prayer is actually saying, I forgive, and I'm asking forgiveness. So this week, I challenge you, right? Make part of your prayer. Make part of your prayer confession. Make it a part where you're asking forgiveness or where you're confessing where you've been hurt and you need to forgive others. And listen, I challenge you. If you do it, God may stir a little bit more in you. He may actually have you apologize to somebody. Listen, do it. Say yes to him and live it out because there's more freedom on the other side. And then number six is declare. It's a declaration, aligning our lips and our life with God's purpose. Again, it ends by saying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What we're declaring is that we can overcome our temptations. What we're declaring is that we can overcome and we don't have to be dragged down to the past temptations that we had before. We can declare that we're going to be overcomers and that we will have no evil. We will not be tempted and we won't fall in to evil. Romans 8:37-39 says it this way. It says, but in all these things, we are completely victorious through God who showed his love for us. Yes, I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor ruling spirits, nothing now, nothing in the future, no powers, nothing above us, nothing below us, nor anything else in the whole world will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Right, that's a declaration. That's declaring that we can overcome evil and that God will deliver us from evil. And I challenge you to do it. Right, pray like Jesus. Pray like Jesus. Right? Again, whether it's this word for word or whether it's this in your own words, I challenge you to use this as a piece to keep you moving forward and connecting with God. And instead of turning to panic, instead of turning to anxiety, instead of turning to worry, turn to prayer. Listen, again, I told you Tuesday night, I had to apply this to my life. Right? I had to apply this. And I remember praying something like this. I remember praying, laying in bed, thinking about, oh, this is going to be terrible. It's not even that bad, but it's going to be terrible, right? But I remember praying, God, thank you for being my father. Thank you for caring for me in this capacity. I need your help right now because you rule from heaven. You're holy and you're set apart. And I pray right now that you help me. I pray that your will be done. Maybe open the eyes of those people that need to know you. That's a storm, right? Somebody needs to know you, God, but I'm good right now, Jesus. So help it stop raining right where I'm at. It didn't stop raining right where I was at. But I had to pray that. I had to pray through that. Then I had to thank them. I had to thank them that, hey, I have four pumps rolling right now and our basement isn't flooded. I had to thank them that the tornadoes that were supposed to come through didn't come through. I had to thank them that even though there's some people in the church that I know are struggling because a river came up, I had to thank them the fact that, you know what, they're still okay as well. They're still alive. We're still safe. There's still bigger picture. So I had to start thanking them. And then I had to actually apologize to be like, God, I'm sorry I worried before I prayed. Sorry I panicked before I prayed. I'm sorry I was frustrated before I prayed. I'm sorry I may have said some things during that frustration before I prayed as well. Just throwing it out there, right? And then I had to ask him to deliver me from that temptation to worry over prayer. And listen, here's what happened. It helped. I went from this to this. Still a little bit, you know? No. I went to a little bit more relaxed. That's what it does. It gives you the peace. So my challenge is that you pray like Jesus. Worship, agree, give thanks, request, confess, and declare. Let's pray like Jesus. And as we close, what I want us to do is I actually want us to pray this prayer together. So as the band comes up here, I want us to jump in and I want us to say the Lord's Prayer together, which should be on the screen right now. Perfect. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. Awesome. At this time, if you will pull out your connection card in the seat back in front of you. Listen, maybe for you, maybe God's challenging you. Maybe God's challenging you to pray in a different way. Maybe you're like me and maybe you panic a little bit before, you worry a little bit before you actually go to prayer. Listen, I want to challenge you to pray like Jesus. I want to challenge you to go to him first. And maybe there's an aspect of prayer that jumped out to you that you need to put in place this week. Listen, I challenge you to write it down, but I challenge you more than just write it down. Make it happen. And make it happen. So this is your time to respond, if you would. Respond to that. And you'll see that on the first box there is that it says that I want to make a commitment to follow Jesus. Maybe for you to pray like Jesus is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Again, Jesus lived a perfect life, died on a cross, and was risen again for us so that we could be connected back to our Heavenly Father, so that we could pray like Jesus. And if you're here today and you've never made that decision, we want to give you that opportunity so you can just check mark that box. There's also a place for prayer requests as well. You would take a moment to get those ready. There's also time to get any tithes or offering ready. Again, we're in the middle of our Go Time 2-year generosity initiative where we're raising funds so that we can continue to expand and renovate the building that's actually on Mount Vernon Road right here. And so if you're a part of that, let's finish strong. If you're not a part of that, we would love for you to jump in. But just know that as we do this, that's where we're going next. We're trying to multiply the kingdom of God. We love for you to be a part. If you would take a moment to get those ready and any connection cards ready, then Adam will be up with next steps.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. And let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.